Welcome to New Generation Church with Eddie Garcia.
But don't stop praising God. Amen. Hallelujah. Receive greetings from our pastor, Eddie Merino. He's on his way to the airport. He should be there by now. But if not, he's there or he's already on his way to the airport. He's going to Houston, Texas. So continue to lift him up in prayer. And I want to thank everybody for giving. On Wednesday, we lifted an offering for him. And I thank you guys for responding, for sowing into the man of God. I thank you guys for making that effort. And if you haven't done it, and maybe you're hearing it today, and you say, okay, I want to be part of sowing a seed into that ministry, you can still do it. You can still sow. Just put on the envelope, Pastor Eddie's trip or outing. Amen. And if you're online too, maybe the Lord, somebody tuning in online and wants to sow that seed, you can still do it. Just do it through that digital platform. Press other and put Pastor Eddie's outing, and they'll make sure the funds go to that specifically. So, but all of you that gave, I thank you for it. It's an honor. It's a privilege. I sowed into it. You know why? You know why I do these things, and I know that God puts it in my heart to do them, is because there's going to be a fruit. There's going to be a blessing. Amen. A while back, when the Lord was barely lifting me up again, I got a prophetic word from a man of God that told me, what you do for others, I'm going to do for you. He told me, what you do for others, I will do for you. And let me tell you, I've been doing that. And God has been blessing everything that I do, because it's in the obedience. It's in the obedience where God is glorified. It's not to bring honor and glory to me. No, it's to glorify the Lord. Amen. Because he gets all the glory. Amen. So I thank you guys. We also want to keep in prayer Pastora Monica Merino and her granddaughter is in the hospital at Reddy's. Nothing serious, just a rash, but nonetheless, they're not at home, and they have to be at a hospital. You guys already know how uncomfortable it can be when you're in a hospital. I mean, you have to eat hospital food. You know, it's cold sometimes. It's too hot sometimes. You're not comfortable. You're out of your zone. So continue to lift up Brianna. I don't want to mess up by trying to pronounce the baby's name, and Monica. Amen. So continue to pray for them as they are in San Diego. I'm sure they're tuning in. They're watching via Facebook or YouTube. Continue to lift them up in prayer, and that they get back home safely. Amen. I also want to thank God. Let's give the Lord a clap offering for the ushering team. Amen. Thank God for the ushers. Hallelujah. I'm trying to make it a point to always honor at least one of the ministries that work within the house, because a lot of times we don't give honor where honor is due. Did you know that the ushers have to be here early? They have to be here early, and they have to stay late. Amen. So I think they deserve a better clap offering than that. Amen. If it wasn't for the ushers, my brothers, a lot of us, we would be lost, you know, because sometimes you get here and things are different, things are going on, and right away you hit up an usher like, hey, what's going on today? Why is everything set up different? Or where am I supposed to go today? Or where do I take my kids? Or where do I park my car? Or, you know, things like that. And they have those answers for you. So, amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Brother Angel, for being the head of the ushering team. Thank you for the work that you're doing. It's an outstanding job. I know that a lot of times you get criticized, and a lot of people give you bad looks and dirty looks and maybe talk behind your back, but that's all part of being in ministry. Amen. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Angel. Thank you, ushering team. Amen. Now let's get to business. Amen. Now let's get to the word. Amen. Let's open our Bibles. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Turn to your brother and your sister there and tell them it's time to go deeper. It's time to go deeper. It's time to go deeper. Amen. How many want to go deeper with God? Amen. I want to go deeper with God. I know God has more for me. I have a lot. God has given me a lot, and I'm good with what I have, but I know there's more. I know there's more depth. There's more that God has for me, and that God is ready to release it, but he's waiting on me to go deeper with him. Amen. Quick shout out to Norma Mendoza, Lila Munoz, Pastor Eddie Merino, he's watching. Amen. Monica Merino's watching. And one more. We give a shout out to Anna Rodriguez that are tuning in. And that's just a few that are watching. And we thank you guys for tuning in. Everybody there at Luke 5, we're going to be reading out of Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to be reading. You can follow along there in your Bible. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. You might have the New King James Version, which is also good. But for me, this one's easier to understand. Amen. Are we there? Amen. Luke 5, verse 1 says, we're going to be reading all the way to 11. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it says, one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said, Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Verse 5, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And this time their nets were so full, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And as soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking, when Simon Peter realized that what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him, his partners, James, John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Amen. Praise God. What a powerful story. What a powerful testimony we have read of the first disciples of Jesus. The first men that were called by God. I like what verse 4 says. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Now, Jesus is talking to one of his disciples, which is Simon, which later on becomes Peter. He hasn't even been transformed yet. He's talking to Simon, which later on will become Peter, but in the process, there's going to be some growth. In the transformation, there's going to be growth. There's going to be maturity. Jesus is talking to a fisherman, which will soon be a disciple, which will soon be one of the apostles. And he's telling this fisherman, go deeper. He's telling him, look, I know you worked all night. I know that you're tired. I know that you specialize in fishing. But I'm telling you to get in the boat with me because I'm already in your boat. I'm telling you to get in, and I'm telling you to go out, and I'm telling you to let down your nets. You see, in order for things to happen, we need to be obedient. I'm going to say that again. In order for things to happen, in order for things to take place, we need to be obedient. You imagine if Simon would have just argued with Jesus and say, no, because I know more about fishing than you know. No, because you're in my boat. And who are you to get in my boat and tell me what to do? I'm the captain of this ship. How many can praise God? I that's the way I think sometimes. I know that you guys don't think like that, but sometimes I think like that. Who are you to get in my boat? I'm the shot caller right here. I call the shots. This is my boat. I'm the captain. I'm the leader. I'm the boss. I'm the one who makes the big bucks. How are you going to tell me? But we see that Simon didn't have that attitude. He said, all right, I'm going to roll with it. I'm going to run with it. It sounds crazy, but I'm gonna go along with you. Sometimes God challenges you, church, to go deeper. To go from the familiar chores to deeper waters. Places that are unfamiliar. Places that if you had your choice and I had my way, we would not be there or we would not do it that way. And that's when we see the hand of God move. We see the supernatural take place because of our obedience. So Jesus is taking Peter from the shallow to the deeper. From the shallow to the deeper. He's going from the natural to the supernatural. He's taking him from the ordinary to the extraordinary. In other words, Peter is building a relationship with Jesus. He's saying, okay, I'm going to listen. I'm going to go with the flow. I'm going to go out deeper. And let me tell you, church, as you begin to obey God, as you begin to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, as your obedience continues to be in the things of God, God will begin to show you thing after thing after thing, extraordinary, extraordinary, extraordinary. You will go from blessing to blessing to blessing. Why? Because God has a lot to give. All he needs is our obedience. All he needs is for us to listen. Listen. Listen, Linda. Come on now. Some of us don't like to listen. We're hard-headed. We have strong characters. We have strong personalities. And that's why God is telling you this morning, go deeper with me. Go deeper with me. I'll take care of the character. I'll take care of the personality. But you have to work with me. Go deeper. So Jesus calls a fisherman. And he tells him, hey, you're not gonna fish for fish no more. Now you're gonna fish for people. I'm gonna use you. You know, that's kind of like an oxymoron, right? I mean, come on. Why would he pick a fisherman? You know, a fisherman, they're always out at sea. They're always out in the water in the boats fishing. They rarely ever even rub shoulders with people. They're always out by themselves. You see, because that's what Jesus specializes in. He uses people that you and I think that can't be used or they shouldn't be used. It's like he picked me, an ex-drug addict, to be a pastor. Why? Because he gets the glory. He gets glorified. Because people that would have picked the pastor, they would have said, let's pick the most handsome, good-looking one, the one that smells the best, that has all his teeth, and has very white, bright teeth, that don't have any pimples, or you know what I'm saying? Because they would look for perfection. And you see, Jesus doesn't look for perfection. Jesus looks for availability. Jesus looks for obedience, church. What Jesus wants in 2024 is that the church of God obey Jesus Christ. You see, Peter caught the vision. He got the understanding. He knew who was standing in his boat. He wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't just a master or a rabbi. He was the Lord of lords and the kings of kings. He was God in the flesh that got into his boat. Now, Jesus wants to get in your boat today. He wants to get in your boat. Are you ready for Jesus to get in your boat? Are you ready to allow him to call the shots? Are you ready to allow him to direct your life? Or are you going to continue to fight? Are you going to continue to go against him? Come on, church. Don't say amen if you're not willing. Don't say amen if you're not going to allow him to call the shots. You and I, we need to accept, church, that we have limitations. We need to accept that we have limitations and that our human efforts and plans, they fall short. And there comes a point where you know what? I cannot do it on my own. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you, Jesus. That's why things haven't happened. Because God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to go deeper. He wants you to go deeper because he wants you to catch the big fish. And the big fish are in the deep. I'm going to say that again. The big fat fish are in the deep waters, right, Brother Alex? Right? You can testify to that, Brother George? Amen. The big fish are in the deep waters. These brothers are fishermen. That's why I asked them, because they know. Because they go out and they fish. Right? So Jesus is telling them, look, I'm telling you, go out. And go deeper. And Peter, that was his job. Nobody goes out fishing in the middle of the day. So that's where the miracle takes place. Because normally you would not be able to catch a fish in the middle of the day. But Peter, not just saying, okay, we already went out and fished. Not to put also that we're washing our nets, we're cleaning our equipment, we're ready, we're getting ready to put it away. Now you're coming and you're telling me to take the nets that I'm already washing to put away in storage, to park the boat and go home for the day. You're telling me to put them back in the boat, get them all dirty again, just because you're saying it. Come on, somebody. You and I need to trust in the word of God. We need to trust in Jesus when it doesn't even make sense. I'm going to say that again. We need to trust in Jesus even when it doesn't even make sense. Like Abraham, when he was going to sacrifice Isaac, it sounded crazy. But God called him. God told him to do it. And Abraham was being obedient and he was ready to sacrifice Isaac, to the point where he had the knife in his hand and he had the altar built and he was ready to go to town on Isaac. He was going to cut him. He was going to sacrifice him. When God said, hey, cálmate, Isaac, calm down. I mean, Abraham, I know that that you love me now. I know that you're for real. I know that you're not playing the part. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. So we need to be obedient even when it doesn't make sense, church. Peter says, nevertheless, at your word, we will obey and we will drop the nets. Isaiah 55 says that his word will not return to him void. That means that if Jesus told them, drop the nets, there's going to be fish. I don't know where the fish were going to come from, but the nets were going to come up with fish. Why? Because Jesus said it. Not because Simon said it, not because anybody else said it, but because Jesus was saying it, you know what, drop the nets were going to come up with fish. You see, that's where the supernatural takes place, because fish weren't supposed to be biting at that time, at that moment, at that time of day. That means that God has the power, has the authority to tell the fish, get in the net. Get in that net, and those fish have to obey. Church, you need to be willing to take risks, even when you're gonna look dumb, even when you feel like you're gonna look bad. You need to be willing to take risks to go beyond your familiar shores. If you want to walk in the supernatural, be willing to take risk. We need to activate our faith. Don't always stay in the familiar. Be willing to try the unfamiliar. Get out of your comfort zone or your comfortable places. Jesus tells Peter, launch. Go. Go. And I think what God is calling us to do is to be bold. To be bold, to be obedient. There's going to be times where you're going to have to stand alone. In your obedience, people are going to say, está loco. He's crazy. Está loca. She's crazy. Because they don't know what God already told you. They don't know that God already gave you the vision. They don't know that God already told you and he gave you a word that he's going to be with you. And as others see your obedience, they will come. As others see your obedience, they will come. They will get closer. They will get closer and closer. They will want to see what it is that you're doing. Why is it that you're walking out on faith? Why is it that you're willing to take that step of faith? Why is it that you're going deeper and they're staying in the shallow? They'll begin to trust and say, I'm going to go follow Armando to that crazy sand dunes out there. You know, there's nothing out there, but I'm going to go see what's going on over there. He's over there in the middle of the desert with a bunch of little kids. People will catch on. The first time, you'll be by yourself, but the second time, somebody will catch on. And they'll see that you're crazy and that you're bold for Jesus. Let's be bold, church. Nothing that is connected to the eternity will happen in your comfort zone. I'm going to say that again. Nothing that is connected with eternity will happen in your comfort zone. Everything that is eternal will happen outside of your comfort zone. That means that we will have to leave our commodity. That means that we will have to leave our comfort zone. That means that we will have to leave our living room. ¿Cuántos alaban a Dios? How many can praise God? You have to just do it. You have to go deeper with God. I don't know about you, but I want more of God. I want to go deeper with him. I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to go from glory to glory. I want to see the glory of God manifested here on this earth. I've seen a thing or two, but I want to see more. I want more, little Eddie. I don't know about you, but I want it all. I want everything that God has for me. I'm not satisfied. I'm hungry. I want more of God. I want more of what he has for the church. And as a church, we need to go for deep. We need to go deeper. We need to go into those deep waters. But it's only going to happen, church, if we get out of our comfort zone. You and I, we need to persevere through disappointment and failure. I'll say that again. You and I, we need to persevere through disappointment and failure. Peter was disappointed because he hadn't caught any fish. Peter could have said, no. Are you crazy? We just came out of that water, and we didn't catch nothing. You're crazy. You think I'm gonna go back again? You think I'm gonna go back into the hood and tell them about Jesus? No, Charlie, forget it. Let them find out the hard way like I did. Come on now. Sometimes we get an attitude like that, huh? The Lord tells you, go tell your compadre that you found Jesus. No, no, no. Let him find out. Let his liver fall apart, just like mine was. You know, but God's trying to get you out of your comfort zone to tell him, hey, you know what? I did a miracle in your life. Go back and tell them that I could do it in their lives. You see, but that requires getting you out of your comfort zone, plucking you away from the brothers or the sisters. You know, there's times where you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone and go out and do it. So we need to learn to hang in there even when things don't go well. Even when you get rejected. Even when some of your own homeboys or homegirls say, sabes que chale, you know what, forget it. You and your Jesus, forget it. I heard it all. You're just like the rest of them. They brainwashed you. Te lavaron el coco. Come on, somebody. Don't get serious on me. Or it just happened to me. No, no. And I tell them, you know what? Yeah, they didn't just brainwash me. They washed my whole body. They put me in the lavadora. They put me in the washing machine with the blood of the Lamb. They put me in there with the blood of Jesus that washed away my sins. That took away the depression, that took away the addiction, that took away everything that was holding me back. And now I'm free. Hallelujah. And that's the best thing, that it was free. All I had to do is say yes. All I had to do is obey and say, you know what, God? I'm going to trust in you no matter what. No matter if I have to live alone, I'm going to trust in you. So you need to learn to hang in there even through the disappointments. When things don't go well, we need to learn to push through our failures and disappointments. We need to push. If you're taking notes, there's an acronym that says PUSH, prayer, push prayer. The P is for prayer. Pray until something happens. Push prayer. The P is for pray until something happens. Pray until your son is converted. Pray until your daughter is saved. Pray until your wife repents. Pray until your husband stops drinking. Pray until something happens. But don't stop praying. Go deeper, go deeper, go deeper, go deeper with God, because something will happen. The U is for until it happens. Don't do it once, but keep doing it until it happens. Don't keep praying until it happens. The S is for something. Something's got to happen. Something's got to break. Either he dies or he believes Jesus. He comes to Christ. I know that's kind of hard, but it's very true. He either gets with it or he's going to ship out. Remember on one occasion, there was a couple that came for counseling with Pastor Art Padilla. And the wife, she says, like, my husband won't change, Pastor. And you know, I'm gonna leave him. And the pastor's all like, you know, pastors, they love families, they love marriages. And he's like, well, sister, you know, you can't leave them. You know, you guys are married, and that's the right thing to do. And no, but he's got to change, Pastor. And Pastor Art told him, well, sister, there's only two things I can do. I could pray for him to come to Christ, or the second thing is I could pray for him to die. And she got all serious. She's like, I'll stay with him, but please don't pray for him to die. But it's reality, church. It's reality. If we continue to live in our sinful ways, in our sin will catch up to us sooner or later. And we will die in sin just because we want to be obedient. We didn't want to obey God. And the H is for happen. Something's going to happen sooner or later. Something's going to happen. Whether it's good or it's bad, but it's going to happen. So it's up to us what we want to happen. Amen. So persevere through it. Don't give up. Check it out. It's your attitude and your mindset that determines the outcome of your life. I'm going to say that again. It's your attitude and your mindset that determines the outcome in your life. You know, Peter caught on quick. He said, you know what? I've done it. I already put the nets out. He goes, but because you're saying it, I'm going to do it in your name. I'm going to be obedient to you, Jesus, and I'm going to let down the net. Todavía he was a little bit doubtful, Peter, Simon, because he only let down one net. If you read carefully, it says that they were cleaning the nets with the S at the end, nets. But he only let down one net. In other words, he only put one fishing pole instead of all 10 fishing poles that he had or all 10 nets. He said, okay, pues, I'm going to listen. Te voy a hacer caso. But I'm just going to let down one. And he did. And with that one net, they caught so much fish that they had to call the neighbors. They had to call the partners so that they can help pull up the net. To pull up the net without an S, the net. You imagine if you would have put down the nets with the S, it would have put down all the nets. They wouldn't have been able to pull up the haul because the Bible says that with the one net that they let down, they were almost sinking the boats out of so much fish that they brought up. You see how important, church, it is to be obedient. If God says put down the nets, put them all down. Don't doubt and put down one net. If God tells you give $1, give that dollar. If he tells you give $100, give that $100. Because it's in your obedience where the supernatural takes place. And that's just an example. But I'm talking about all areas of our life. You know, where God tells you, he wakes you up at 3 a.m. and he tells you to pray. You're like, I know. 3 a.m, I'd rather be sleeping. You know, you never get up to use the restroom, and all of a sudden, at 3 a.m, you get the urge to go to the restroom. And you're in the restroom, and that thought comes to your mind to pray. And you fight that thought and you say, you know what? I lying devil. Why you wake me up? And little do you know it's God that's telling you, get up. I want to talk to you. I want to do something in your life. But because of our laziness and our disobedience, we disobey God. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good. I'm saying it because it's happened to me. So I'm not talking about any of you. I'm talking about myself. That's happened to me, and I disobeyed. And then later on, God reminds me, remember, I woke you up at 3 in the morning. I was trying to prepare you for this temptation. I was trying to get you ready for this battle, but you're more worried about being in bed. Now, there you are struggling, but here you come now because you need me. Come on now. Okay. So number five, you need to remember, church, the importance of teamwork. They would have been overwhelmed with the catch if they had not been willing to share. Peter was willing to share. He called his partners to come and join on the blessing. Luke 5:7, always share the blessing with others. That's where the blessing's at. Always share the blessing with others. Never, church, get the attitude where let them suffer like I suffer. Let them go through hardship, hard times like I did, so they learn. So they learn to appreciate. No. That's not the mindset of a godly man or a woman. Be willing to share the blessings with others. Paul called his partners to come and share in the blessing. Accountability partners, we all need to have them. We need to have the chemistry. We need to have the connection. We need to have the community, the character, and the commitment with others. Amen. Give you guys some freebies. Amen. Como dice el pastor, le estoy dando unas gratis. I'm getting ready to land the plane. We need to have it, all these things, church. We need to put aside our egos. Hello? I'm going to say that again. We need to put aside, or we need to put to the side our egos of the just me, the I. It needs to be the us, the we. Pride needs to stop at the door. There's no room for pride in this team. The pride needs to stay outside of these doors so that we continue to walk in the vision that God has dropped in NGC, the vision to reach the world for Christ, the vision, the mission that God has set before the church. We need to be willing to let others win. Hello, somebody. We need to be willing to let others win. You can't always get the glory. You have to allow others to score a touchdown. You have to allow others to catch the big fish every now and then. Why? Because you're part of the team. You're part of Team NGC. When you win, we win. It can't always be just me. Give others credit. Hello, somebody. Give others credit. Promote others. Tell them, hey, you're doing good. Your ministry is flourishing. I see that you're doing an outstanding job. Keep up the good work. Hello, somebody. We need to be willing to let others win, church. Make sure you include others on your journey. You will need them. Remember that the kingdom is about teamwork. I'll say that again. Remember that the kingdom is about teamwork. That's why Jesus Christ picked out 12 disciples because it's in the team. It's in the team, church. Peter had partners that he was willing to share the blessing with. God's going to begin to bless you so much that you're going to need partners to be able to share the blessing with. Amen. How many believe it? Don't say amen if you don't believe it. You and I need to remember that God gives us more than we ask for or can even imagine. Ephesians 3:20. God will always give you more. That's my alarm right there. To remind me that I'm at the runway. Amen. So we need that. Remember that, church, that God gives us more than we ask for or can even imagine. The more you go deeper with God, the more he's going to give you. The more you go deeper with God, the more he's going to give you. And what are you going to do, church, when God gives it to you? Are you going to hoard it or are you going to give it out? Are you going to hoard it or are you going to bless others? Peter was immediately convicted. He fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me. I am a sinner." The moment that the blessing showed up, the moment that Peter seen the fish, he said, "Man, this is a man of God. This is a woman of God." When people see the blessing on you, they will recognize that you are a man of God, that you are a woman of God, because the blessing of God is going to be upon you. And there's not going to be any doubt that the King of Glory is in your life, because it will manifest the glory of God. Peter recognized and he fell to his knees and he said, "Get away from me, for I'm a sinner." Why? Because your presence will bring conviction. They will know that you have been with the Master. They will know that you have been with Jesus Christ, because they will feel the anointing of God that is in your life. Peter recognized that Jesus was the Lord and that he was the catch that Jesus was after. Peter recognized, "Lord, you didn't come here because you needed fish. You came here because you're looking for me." And that's what I've come here this morning to tell you, that you didn't come here to listen to me. You came here because Jesus wants business with you. You didn't come here to listen about a story of fish. Is that Jesus is fishing for you. He caught you and he has you in his house and he wants to go deeper with you. He wants to give you more. You are already in. You might as well go deeper with God. Go in, you already got the adentro. You're already here. You're already in the boat. Might as well go deep. I don't know about you, but I didn't play around when I was in the world. If I was going to go all in, I was going to go all in. I didn't like to be playing around, playing the part. Le vas a dar, dale. If you're going to give it, give it. Go. Go all in. Don't just get wet at your ankles. Dive in. No te mojes los tobillos, échate el clavado de una vez. Dive in. Dive in. And final point. You and I need to be humble and give God all the glory. You and I need to be humble, church, and give God always all the glory. Be humble when God blesses you. Be humble when God anoints you. Be humble when God uses you. Peter was humble. He gave God all the glory for the catch. Peter was obedient to Jesus. That was the key as well. Amen. Always give God the glory. Never forgetting where we were at before Christ. That's gotta be the catalyst to keep us going. That we were condemned to an eternity in hell. But because Jesus showed up, now we have salvation. Estábamos condenados al infierno. Pero gracias a Dios que llegó Cristo de la gloria. The Jesus of the Christ of glory showed up. Amen. Let us stand to our feet. And remember, God shares his glory with no one. God does not share his glory with anybody. All glory is to God. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.